got peace like a river, blowing from the heart of the giver. Let's go to Psalm 27. We've started several weeks back, I think probably closer to the beginning of May, on a small little series, I guess. And really it's been the series that I've noticed that some of what has been preached while I was gone even fed into this area of this area of intimacy, of relationship with God. Again, I don't think we've been wrong in teaching faith by any stretch of the imagination, because I believe without faith it is impossible to please God. I believe that you take hold of the promises of the Spirit by faith. And I don't just believe that. I know that's what the Word of God says. but at the same time, I think a lot of people have missed the boat a little bit, because they believe that that faith is a what you do, that faith is these actions that you put forth, that faith is, you know, this the speaking, and faith is the joy, and faith is that, and so because of that, because they that's where they put themselves. They try harder to speak the right words, and then they do what Romans chapter 7 talks about, where they seemingly fail God time and time again. They get frustrated with themselves. They assume their faith's not working because they've messed up. And it's because that they've treated faith as, can I throw it out here? Like, I'm going to say it like this. They've treated faith as a verb. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says faith is a substance, or it's an object, which would make it a noun. It would be something that you have. Now here's the kicker. Here's the thing is that when faith, when you're born again, faith becomes a substance on the inside of you. All right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who live according to the flesh, who live not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation in them because they're living by the Spirit. And so they are not subject to the law of sin and death, but they are subject to the law of life, the Spirit of life. So my point here is this, is that when love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance comes into your life, it begins changing what's available to you. And instead of getting over into trying to operate in the law and doing what Old Testament was all about, doing what was right. Right? Ten Commandments. You had to make sure the sacrifices, the tabernacle, all the things were done right. Old Testament was about doing what was right. New Covenant, now see, here's where people get messed up. New Covenant is about being right. Being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's who you are. It's your character. It's your identity. And so it's not about sitting here and going, well, I've got to do this. No, New Testament says, now greater is he that lives within you than he that lives in the world. So, the Old Testament, you had to watch. Now, please understand what I'm saying here. Anybody goes out of here and says, Pastor Thad says we can do whatever we want to do. No, you're wrong on that. Because the Old Testament, you had to watch what you do. The New Testament, what do you need to watch? You need to watch your relationship, your time with Him, your intimacy with Him. You need to set your focus on that, because faith grows out of that. So my point here is this, is if He is in you, then what's going to flow out of you? Him, His nature. So faith, the right things on your lips are going to come flowing out. It's not something you have to do. It's who you are. It's your character. Walking in the joy of the Lord, but having the joy of the Lord. Now, there's sometimes you may have to intentionally put on the joy of the Lord. I don't know why that word intentionally keeps popping up here today, but it must be for somebody here. There may be some days where you have to intentionally put it on to stir it up. Stir up that gift that's in you. But again, it's in you. It's a gift that's in you. It's something that's in you. And it's what's in you that'll bubble out. I mean, we look no further than, what's the kingdom of like? Oh, it's like a seed. All right, what's a seed like? A seed says, here's this, and the very DNA of apples are in the seed. That's the very, you, when you, you're eating an apple at home, Honeycrisp apples. There's just, I mean, I've come to the realization. I used to like Red Delicious, and it seems like they've gotten mushy lately. Red Delicious, man, they have that Christmas. And you eat that apple, and that apple didn't start trying to be an apple. It was inside of a seed. And when that seed was planted, just like the power of God, God taking up birth, when it was planted, it grew, and automatically, without that tree doesn't have to have an IQ of 120 to figure out how to produce an apple. A tree ain't that smart. A tree can only be what's inside of it. And it always will be. It always will turn out to be what was inside that tree. That's the way it is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Beloved, that when you are born again, you start. You get this foundational fruit, this foundational level of these blessings, these things in your life. And then most too many times Christians stop. They get caught up in the cares and the distractions of the world, and they can't figure out why things are getting harder. I've been born again and things get harder. That's never the way God intended for it to be. And I'm not saying that He intended for it, your life to be rainbows and unicorns, to where you never have a battle. Because He warns us you're going to have battles. But what I am saying is that in the midst of the battles, you can still raise a hallelujah and still enjoy your life. But the key is that what was started in you, you've got to continue to increase in. And how do you increase in it? By knowing Him. By spending time with Him. By loving on Him. By being intimate with Him. By getting alone with Him. Because, beloved, that is the foundation of everything that we will do as Christians. That is our success. That is everything that we are, is us getting along with Him and intimacy with Him and relationship with Him. Because that's where our faith will grow. That's where our fruit will grow. That's where our witnessing flows from. Our witnessing flows from that intimacy with Him. Well, this is what we've been talking about. Psalm 27, verse 8 says, "When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." I like the Amplified Version because that word, seek my face, the wording in between there, it says, "Inquire for, require my presence as your vital need." God wants us to understand that He must be, that just Him in our life must be the vital thing that we need in life. There was a quote that I stumbled upon from Bill Johnson. I really enjoy listening to Bill Johnson, reading his stuff. There's so much to it. It's really hard just to read zippity-doo-dah through it. My wife and my daughter, when they go to the beach, they read books and read these novels, and they cover a lot of ground on it. And I get out to the beach and I pull out, which one do I currently have? One of Bill Johnson's books. and I'll pull out and once I'm done with, it doesn't even have to be a chapter. I have to chew on that thing for a while. I have to just let it marinate inside of me, and it's good. It's good. I'm not saying that I don't understand it. I'm just saying it's so rich and so thick. You have to meditate on it. I can't just whip through. I've been working on that same book for two vacations, so 2 years vacations. But he said, royalty is my identity, servanthood is my assignment, intimacy is my life source. And I love that statement. I love that. That needs to be one I put on a sign and hang around the church somewhere, because that's got to be our image. Royalty is my identity, servanthood is my assignment, and intimacy is my life source. That's where everything flows from. If you don't seek after as your vital need the presence of God, then beloved, you will find yourself frustrated with your relationship and with your Christian walk. There's nothing more important in your life than spending time alone with God. Intimacy with Him. Getting to know Him. Pretty much any problem in life can be solved by being alone with God and developing an intimate relationship with Him. Everything else in life flows after that. And we have been, that's what we've been looking through over these last several weeks. It's just, we've been looking through the fact that things that we need for victory in this life are birthed out of intimacy. We've talked about how intimacy removes human limitations. It causes impossibilities to become possible. I love the scripture, and again, I'm just throwing these out here. We're kind of in review here, but Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint." So you're going to do some things that are bigger than you, that are higher than you, that are stronger than you. But what's the key? Waiting upon the Lord. And if you recall, that word "waiting upon the Lord" goes deeper than just the matter of servanthood. It's beyond servanthood, and we dealt with that. You know, the waiter waiting on you at the restaurant. That's not the waiting it's talking about. It's beyond servanthood. It's beyond the timekeeper. Eventually, no. That word wait simply, the very basic foundational definition is binding together. Is connecting together, is to twist together, to make one. So they that come together with God, twist themselves together, become one with Him, they are the ones that whose strength will be renewed. They are the ones that will mount up with wings as eagles. They are the ones that will run and not grow weary. They are the ones that will walk and not faint. It's the ones that are intimately entwined with Him. Not those that can do or do without it. You know, if you can do or do without your time with God, then you're not the one that's going to have your strength renewed. You got to be the one who's your life source is being in relationship and intimacy with Him. We went on and talked about how there's rewards that come along with that intimacy. Isaiah 64:4 talks about what Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 2, where he says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived with ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth." You can, that same way, that are entwined with Him. There are things that, beloved, that God is wanting to show off on your behalf. This is where a lot of the faith people that listen to faith preaching, again, which we are, get frustrated. Because they're doing everything that they've sown the seed. They've done all these other kind of things that they know faith would do. But they're missing it because there are things in the unseen realm that God wants to reveal to you, but the key to seeing those revealed is that intimacy with Him, is that just getting alone with Him. So that's my challenge, is that you know, some of you all, you're like, well, but if I spend too much time with Him, I get too relaxed and I might fall asleep and I've got stuff I have to get done and I have to do this. Find a place. Don't do it laying in your bed. Don't do it reclining in your recliner if that's the place you fall asleep. Find that place that you and Him can just be by yourself and you can talk to Him and fellowship with Him. Intimacy. God wants to reveal things to you. We went on and said, well, Matthew 6 says that, you know, Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in a closet. When you shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and He'll reward you openly. So again, these are the rewards. These are the things. If you'll learn to get in that quiet place with Him. And again, I'm not saying for a whole day, and I'm not saying for an hour. I mean, some people, they put this magic number of an hour on it. And beloved, where an hour, if hour's your starting time, which it can be, I'm not saying it can't be, then sometimes you're putting too much pressure on yourself. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. Start with a little conversation. And again, it will begin developing and it will grow bigger. Amen. Most of us want to start with an hour and it becomes tedious. Have you, I know, I don't even have to have hands raised for that one because most of us would go, yeah, I started that way and about blew me out of the water, because the first day you take care of everything, right? And the second day you're like, what else do I have to do? Right? And again, I'm not necessarily saying, because that can be the time where you're like, okay, God, what do I do now? And He can teach you. So I'm not saying that. But it can become oppressive because you're trying to fit the time into your day. You're trying to do this, try to start with what you can have. Spend some time. I would rather have my children come in for, you know, even if it was for dinner time, and just sit down with me, with their phones down, with their eyes on Dad, talking to Dad, conversing with Dad, for a dinner time, for 30 minutes, than to not do it at all because it's so cumbersome. Amen? I love just my kids come in, just sit and talk and fellowship with me. It's awesome. I like when we get in the car, we have to drive places because then I've got a captive audience. But I'd rather have the little bit of just face-to-face, eye-to-eye communication in my day than to have, you know, when they're in college, when they've been up in college, I'll send them text messages. Because text messages can be less cumbersome, because you've sent a text and then get back to you when it's done. But there are conversations that we could have if we could sit eye to eye and discuss it. We could be done in 5-10 minutes, have a lot of questions answered, where texting and maybe I say, what's your plans today? 45 minutes later, nothing much. I text back, nothing much. That doesn't sound too exciting. 45 minutes later, just going to chill with the guys. Anything exciting? 45 minutes later, nah, just got some homework to do. You know, and then you've taken most of your day to just really eye to eye, face to face. You could really have an understanding of what's going on. And I honestly, I think that's what Holy Spirit is just wanting us to have that time where we kind of set other things aside for intimacy with Him. And He said, "Man, if you'll learn that, I didn't say this. This is what Scripture says. If you learn to do that, I'll reward you openly. I'll make it worth your while. Isn't that cool?" He's not telling you come and spend time eye to eye, face to face with me, and you'll lose an hour of sleep, or you'll miss the first 5 minutes of your television show, or you'll miss this. He's not saying that you're going to miss anything. He said you're going to be rewarded if you'll learn to do this. Hallelujah! I like that. But He's waiting for us to make Him His top priority. We went on and talked about how rhema and understanding, we can have understanding come when we spend that time with Him. When we don't know what to do, where to go. God says, "Man, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with your whole heart, you'll come after me. If you need an answer, you come to me. And I'll take care of you from there." The best examples we had of this was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where we talked about Daniel, and remember where Daniel all he did was get along with God, and God did things that meant it was impossible for men to figure out. All Nebuchadnezzar's wise men were asked, "Tell me the dream and tell me what it means." And they kept saying, "Well, you tell us the dream, we'll tell you what it means." Because that's something they could probably do. They could probably figure out what a dream meant by maybe, or at least make something up, right? Daniel needed understanding. So what did he do? He went alone, be with God, came back the next day and said, "Here's what your dream was." And he's telling them the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar's going, "That's exactly the dream. Here's what it means." What came to him? He got rhema because of it, but it brought promotion too. He was rewarded openly. Amen. How important was his time with God? that was the plan to trip him up. Remember, that was the plan to trip him up, is to take away his time with God. If you pray to another God, you'll be thrown in the den of lions. And that was where they knew they could get him, because they knew they couldn't take that away from him. They knew that he wouldn't remove himself from that place. Because he went up to that window and prayed daily. He did that constantly. Got him in trouble. I'll leave that alone. But that's where he got his information at. And that's what the scripture that kind of has been on us as a body for quite a while, where it said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." I love that. The people who do what? No. Experience, get alone with, spend time with. They're the ones that are going to do exploits. They're the ones that are going to be strong. They that wait upon the Lord, they're the ones that are going to change destiny. Going to fulfill their destinies, fulfill their callings, their purpose. They're the ones that are going to they're going to move in to the higher realms of God's glory. It's the ones that know Him. See, that's what going to church is, an outflow of that. You can go to church and say, "I am doing action, verb, what the Bible told me to do." And that's a good thing. It's better than nothing. But when you know Him and you have the intimacy with Him, you're not doing anything because of what you've been told to do. I'm doing it because it's my nature. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Doors are open. I'm going to church. Oh, I went by there and there was a couple cars there. I'm going to stop in and see if a revival is happening. I said, I'm going to see if, he says, something's got to be going on. I don't want to miss out on it. As you develop intimacy with God, the supernatural will become natural. I want to go here to take a step into this morning and deal with this area that, again, this is just building this thing. This is why God's not saying for He wants intimacy with us just because. He's saying if you will come into intimacy with you, all these things that I've promised you, all these blessings, rhema, power, making the impossible possible. We're going to see here, it'll transform us, it'll prosper us, it'll enable us. It'll cause us to walk in victory. If you will just know me, if you'll just come to that place of intimacy with me, everything will change. So let's go, because Elijah was a man who knew the power of God. He knew, God moved in his life. He saw miracles. Miracles. He saw them happen. Go to 1 Kings 17. We'll start there. I'm just going to, again, I don't know how long this will take us, but there's just a couple things I want to point out to you to finish this thought up. This may be our last message here. I don't know. But this is what the Holy Spirit gave me for today. But I want you to notice here that Elijah, we look at what... These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, right? And we're just like, yeah, we're gonna change this nation, just like Elijah changed his nation. Elijah shook up his nation and the prophets that went against the things of God fell mercilessly up before him. And there's nothing they could do about it. This is the days of Elijah, man. We're going to see that. Yeah. For those who know their God. Because they're the ones that are going to do exploits. Not the ones that are melancholy about the whole thing. Not the ones that are and again, I'm not saying, some people are like, well, this means I can't do anything else in life. No. Doesn't mean that at all. Matter of fact, God's called us to do different things in life. He's called us to your jobs. To your location. Where you're at, He's called you there. Why? Because someone needs to be there. Some light needs to be in your place of business. Some light needs to be in the t-ball field, the little league field, the basketball court, the basketball locker room. Some kind of light needs to be in there. And if not you, who? So it's not saying at all that you can't have things and be other places, but the priority's got to become intimacy with Him. Me and Him. Getting alone, blocking other things out, getting rid of the distractions that will steal the word from my life. Or getting along with Him that will add the word to my life. Elijah. Are you in 17? 1 Kings 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but we'll just read a little bit here because we know a lot of what's going on here. Verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." And I was reading that, and I just thought, that's an amazing statement there, that our amazing thing there, that Elijah had such an open communication with God, that he had open relationship, that God could speak to him no matter what, And because of that time, that intimacy where it was just him and God, he could hear his voice clearly. And now, during a period of time where the word of the Lord came to him and talked to him and communed with him and gave him direction, and he said, I've got a place that I'm gonna take you to and hide you in so that you can be secure and be helped. He said, I'm gonna command ravens. You're gonna have to hear from God. You're gonna have to have a special relationship with God to trust him on that one. Command ravens. It's a famine. It's dry. There's no rain. You're going to have to hear from God to think that a brook is where I'm going to keep getting getting water from. I mean, he didn't send him to a river. He sent him to a brook. There's something there. That you're going to have some kind of connection with God. Trust in him. You went there, and there's a small tree, and there's no food, and there's a brook. All right. You said this is where I'm supposed to be. You better have some connection with him, some trust in him, some intimacy with him. And he did, and he was sustained. And he ate. I don't know what the ravens brought him. But they brought him some food. And while everybody else is trying to figure out how they're going to be sustained during this time, he didn't have one worry. Why? Because he had a relationship with the God who provided for him. You understand why the world is in such an uproar about everything? They're in uproar about who our president is. They're in uproar over the fact that certain flags don't get flown, that certain people, all this. They're up in arms about all kinds of stuff. You know why? Because they have no control over it. They don't have... Those that we want to say, no, I'm a Christian, they don't have that intimate relationship with God that simply says, watch what I'm going to do. Let me be your provider. Because they have to yell in order for them to have their provisions made. So that's why they're so loud. It's because that's their provision. That's why, beloved, we shouldn't be those people who complain and are simply trying to be troublemakers. It's okay that we stand up for what's right. I'm not saying that. But I know people, Christians, who are like, no, I've got to stand up against this, because if I don't stand up against this, nobody else will. And I've got to do this, I've got to do this. If God told you to. We're going to just read glance here in a little bit. In chapter 18, Elijah caused a little bit of a mess, didn't he? Slaughtered a bunch of prophets there on Mount Carmel. But we know he was directly ordained by God to do it. So there's a time where you're allowed. And there's a time where you speak up. And there's a time where you just simply say, watch my God supply for me. Amen. But everybody else was screaming, trying to figure out what to do. And Elijah just stayed in communication with God and was taken care of. Verse 9. And the word of the Lord came, verse 8, I'm sorry. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, again, he's in open communication. He's talking with God. He's spending time with God. How much do we know God said to him? I don't know how much God said to him. I would guess that God spoke to him more than go to the brook. And he went to the brook. And then a little while later he said, okay, go to the widow. I'd imagine that God said more to him than, but if he didn't, who else do you think he was talking to? The only thing that mattered to him was his heavenly Father. He said, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Again, a brook was going to keep him quenched. not a river, not an ocean, not a massive body of water, a brook was going to keep him quenched. And now, a widow woman. And when he shows up, he finds out it's not just your average widow woman. It's a poor widow woman. It's a widow woman. Widow woman. I say that a bunch of times in a row. It was a widow woman who was on her last little bit, not just on her last cruise of oil, her last little bit in the cruise of oil. How are you going to sit there and go, oh no, no. See, I think that's a level why some people struggle with their tithe and struggle with their seed sown. What we're going to talk, well, we probably won't get to it tonight, but that's one of the when you come to your offerings, do you know God? Or do you just know what's been said about Him? Or do you just agree? How about this? Because this is even a step closer. Do you just agree with what's been said about Him? How many times do we agree with the fact you can't outgive God? Do we agree with that? Most of us in this room would say, yeah, I agree with that you can't outgive God. How many of here have ever tried it? Have ever put it up for an effort and said, all right, Lord, I'll see. And the reason we don't as a whole is just in case. Just in case it doesn't work. I don't want to be without that money. And again, I'm not chastising anybody here. I'm just simply saying that when you're not really totally sure, intimate, convinced at who he is, you don't really jump in with both feet. You don't cannonball. You go in a step at a time. Which is a mistake. When I'm, on vacations, it was in our condo, was a pool that you'd imagine. I don't know that it was heated. It may have been heated. But you could have imagined it's been in the Florida sun for a couple months. So you walked into it and it was just nice. The sun's beating down. It was just, when you got in there, just a tinge of coolness and stuff like that. And so, I walked right in. I'd go down the steps and walk right in. But you know, my dad's pool, he hasn't had the heat in it for a couple of years. And then we have Kentucky weather, which gets cool at night and sometimes cool during the day. How about this summer weather we've been having? I guess technically it's not summer yet, so. 70 degrees this week. Hadn't it been crazy good? Sunshiny and 75 degrees. That's the way to have summer. But his pool will always reflect that. Because we'll go over on a hot day or go over on a day and we'll come out of the air conditioning, come out in the hot sun, and we'll put a foot in the water and it's kind of like, no! I am not going in there. Who would dare go in there? Because you just, step in there. And so then you get in there and you go, okay, I'm going in. So you stand on the top step for as long as you possibly can until your feet are numb, I guess. Then you go on the next one until your knees are numb. And then it's a process of going through. It just doesn't work. And that's where a lot of Christians are in their relationship and their giving to God. They get stuck there at that first step and they'll give a little bit 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 because it's what they can handle. Instead of saying, I have so much trust in you, God, watch what I'm going to do. And they'll just, Jared and Ryan are always the head first. Let's get in there. And that's not my style, but then again, I'm Elijah knew God. So God said, I'm going to command a widow woman to sustain thee, and he shows up and he goes, hey, go make me a cake. And she's like, I've only got enough oil in a cruise to feed my son and I each a small cake, and then we're going to die. Well, he's like, I know I heard his voice. I know him. I know he wouldn't have sent me here. And he said, before you die, before you go with your plans and make you guys, you know, hey, if you make yourself this little cake, then eat it and die. Make me, each of you, make me one like this, and just because it's not gonna, you're still gonna die, right? So make me, you know, make yourselves a small cake. Make me a bigger one, okay? I want to eat. God told me you're gonna feed me. It didn't seem like it, but see, if you didn't know God, you ain't gonna say that. You're not gonna step out like that. You're not gonna cannonball in on that situation. But we know what happened. And we know what beyond that, because in 1 Kings, verse 20, she brings to him her dead son. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow? I mean, you're not going to talk to somebody like this that you don't have a relationship with. He's got intimacy with him. Verse 21, he stretched forth himself on the child three times. The first time it didn't work, the second time it worked. Third time he cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come to life in him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back and revived. He knew his voice well enough. He knew there was such a give and take between the Heavenly Father and Elijah that he talked to him. He talked to him back. He knew his voice. Elijah knew his voice. God knew Elijah's voice because of the intimacy there. And that son had life brought back into him. Chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Abraham, and there was famine in Samaria. And again, we know what goes on in there, that he goes and he makes fun of the prophets. He soaks his altar, fire from heaven comes, all this kind of stuff. But where did all that stuff come from? It came from that time that he had with God. Hearing his voice, knowing his voice, spending time with him, intimacy with him. The boldness and the confidence with what Elijah spoke with simply came from that relationship with God. He operated more than just a human being because of that relationship. Go to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. I want you to see here that when we're talking about intimacy with him, we're not talking about just losing part of your day. We're talking about investing part of your day for you to live differently. I've tried that faith thing. You tried mimicking that faith thing. See, I could try to talk like, what's his name? Sean, you knew who I was talking about. I could try to talk like Sean Connery, and some of you would say, Pastor Thad, that is the worst imitation I've ever... Because I'm just trying. I could try to talk like John Wayne and get my southern drawl on there and stuff like that. And y'all going, that's horrible, Pastor Thad, because I'm just trying. Probably not going to fool a whole lot of people. That's where most Christians are in their walk with God. Is they're trying to do something for someone that they don't know. Operate in a way of someone that they just don't know. And when you know them, when you know him, it changes everything. James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's just like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. The CEV says Elijah was just as human as we are, and for 3.5 years his prayers kept the rain from falling. I just liked how that word, his prayers, his communion with God kept that rain up there. Let's look at a couple other scriptures here and we'll wrap it up. Isaiah 58. Hallelujah. I like this. I mean, it just simply says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's talking about a constant presence, a constant direction. Satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones. Thou shall be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose waters fail not. When you get to that place where the Lord is continually that voice, where you are continually in that place of communion with Him, intimacy with Him, needing that communion with Him, when you're in that place, you're not going to have drought. Well, actually, in the middle of drought, you're still going to be fat. It says, make fat thy bones, which is a way of saying you're going to be prosperous. Amen. So in the middle of things going not right, you're going to have all the eating and all the dining. I wonder if there was a group of ravens that brought the tablecloth and the table and the chair. And I don't know. When you get to the place where God's voice is an everyday necessity, your bones will be made fat, which is prosperity. Let's go to one more. Psalm chapter 1. We'll wrap it up with this, and if the Holy Spirit leads us on. We remember at the beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit spoke this. Our priorities, the words of our mouth, and intimacy with Him. That's what we got to prioritize this year. And so this has just been feeding on that area of the of that intimacy with Him, knowing Him, walking with Him, spending time with Him, needing Him. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now again, that just simply says, don't be there. Don't do that. Don't go those places, okay? But, verse 2, his delight, his treasure, the place that he values above all else, that's what that word is, delight, is in the law or the word of the Lord. And on his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, the picture here that we see here is a constant need for the presence of God, the knowing Him, starting your day with Him, finishing your day with Him, walking Him with Him during your day, visiting with Him. But it comes down to knowing, experiencing Him day in and day out, meditating therein. Day and night. Spending time with Him. Day and night. Spending time in the Word. Day and night. Spending time talking with Him. Day and night. Verse 3. And, which means this is, if your delight is, you treasure and value the law of the Lord and meditate there in day and night. If you do that, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. But again, what's the foundation of this? It's that setting him, really not setting him aside, setting yourself aside in him. To know Him, to know His ways, to spend time with Him, to hear His voice. Because that is the priority overall. When that becomes your priority, beloved, you're going to prosper. You're going to hear His voice. You're going to be led in a way that is going to come out above and not beneath and be the head and not the tail. You're going to run and not grow weary. You're going to mount up with wings on eagles. You're going to fly above storms. Storms may still come, but you're going to go above them and not be affected by them. But you got to be in that place where his time, that time with him, getting alone with him, becomes the priority in your life. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you this morning. We love you for all that you are. We don't love you. We're not loving you today for any kind of to get anything. We're grateful for everything you promised us. We know that's part of our what we get. We know that. But our priority becomes, Father, you and me. I don't chase after stuff. I chase after you. And not as one that runs away from me, but as one that is there, hidden in the cleft, hidden in that place, that security place. I'm going after you with my whole heart, with all my soul, with all my heart. And when I've come into that place, I get to enjoy all your benefits. Yesterday, the fam and myself worked on cleaning out part of our garage. Most of it amounted to re-sorting stuff and just basically moving piles of this over to the other side. We did clear out partial room. But what took us probably 3 hours to do could have been done a little bit quicker than that had we not come across some keepsakes. I'm guessing that over the course of the next couple weeks or so, you'll see some pictures of me on Facebook from when I was a teenager. I was weird. Just for the fun of it. But one of the things that Jessica happened upon were some cards, some things that I had made for her when we were dating. I think some of them were when we were first married, but it was back when we were just dating. And I was trying to get her. I wanted that good looking chick, right? And I didn't go out and buy a bunch of cards. I'd make my own. My father-in-law still says that I need to start a business making cards, because my cards that I make are more creative than the ones that are in the store. But there's all sorts of them, man. I kind of snuck a peek at them after we were done. Because I had work to do. I didn't have time to sit there and read cards. Just kidding. But I started thinking, you know, that sometimes when you're trying to woo the female, you'll do things that some of us men don't do once we got them. You know, you'll buy them flowers when you're trying to woo them, and when you got them, you're like, well, I can save some money now, thank God. And, you know, I sense that you know, a lot of Christianity becomes that security of knowing we've got God, we've got Him, He's my God, I'm going to heaven, and then we taper off. We're no longer after going after pursuing the heart of God, getting Him not in a way that he's running away from us, but that we want to get to know him more, to, you know, and we go away from that, and we can kind of get comfortable, just like a husband would get comfortable, you know, I got her. Now she gets to make me dinner, right? And we got, and I just, in a sense, the Holy Spirit just saying, we need to get to that place again as a body of Christ that we're wooing woo, our Heavenly Father, that we're going after His heart. Not as someone that we're questioning if He's going to love us or not. I never question that Jessica loves me. I don't question that at all. But could I do more for her? Sure I could. It's not, so we're not saying that we're trying to get God to love us. We just want more of Him. We just want a deeper relationship with Him. We want more of that intimate one-on-one time with Him. Amen. And that's where we got to get back into that place. We're coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.